If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into the flagship, Hit That Line edition. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Week 2. And boys, pretty good week. 15-11 total. The leader in the clubhouse right now, Nicholas Carr, went 4-1, and Ben right there behind him at 5-2, and Austin and myself both went 3-4. Ben and myself both hit our money line sprinkles. Ben got the Trojans of Southern Cal at +152, and I hit the big one with Boston College at +590. So, good week for everyone. We continue the trend of this group being pretty stout against the spread. So, this show brought to you each and every day by our friends at College Corner, 3 locations: Oxford, Ridgeland, and Flowood. They take care of us, and they will take care of you. If you can't get there, collegecornerstore.com. Get your closet upgraded for it's week 1. No, it's Furman, but it looks like the Rebels might be playing more than 12 games, 13 games this year, so you might need to get some new polos. And, of course, they got the tailgating supplies as well. Podcast also brought to you by our good friend Drew Moak at USA Benefits Group. 20 to 30%, he can help you cut that off of your health insurance premiums. You can give him a call today at 601-953-8449 or check him out, usabg.com/DMOAK, and you can get that free quote, and he'll help you out. All right, let's bring in the Legal Gambling Counsel, Austin, Ben, and Nick. Good evening. Ben is on the road, so I believe he is going to be going back and forth, utilizing his cellular device to look at lines. But, gentlemen, good evening. It was a successful week 1 for the LGC.
It was. Zach with the home grand slam of a money line. 590 is a huge, huge number.
Called his shot.
For those who don't know, I can't imagine you listening to the show without knowing gambling lingo. Plus 590 means if you bet $100 on Zach's pick, you would make $590 in addition to the $100 that you put up. So that is an incredible money line pick.
And it was good. A wire to wire cover, right? Like never in doubt.
Yeah.
What was it? Because Florida State went three and out, then Boston College had the ball for like 14 minutes of the first quarter.
It was at one point it was 29 plays to 6. They'd had a 15 play drive and a 14 play drive, and FSU had 2 3 and outs.
I mean, that's what would worry me if I was an FSU fan, apart from the fact that we just got our asses kicked by Georgia Tech and Boston College. It's starting to sound a bit like a former Ole Miss coach who used to tell people every season that we were going to be a tournament team, and then we weren't a tournament team. Mike Norvell said this was his best offensive line that he's ever had. He told people in the offseason that it was a great defensive line. They're getting smacked around at the line of scrimmage. Wrong about this?
I was going to say, man, this is kind of one of those perfect examples. If you don't know what you got, or if you're unsure, just keep your mouth shut. Don't give everybody the shit in the spring and fall camp what they want to hear. Because, man, now it's just – I mean, you're 0-2 anyway. People are going to be pissed, but now people are really pissed.
Well, now
they're saying, you've been telling us this offensive line was so good. Yeah.
Now they're beginning to question his judgment or his ability to coach him up. I mean,
yeah.
I'm really sure you morally you can get this done.
Yeah, right.
Hey, real quick. Real quick, as y'all were talking about, as Ben was explaining, you know, odds and stuff like that, do we have any odds yet on how many times Taylor Swift will be shown during the game tomorrow?
I mean, assuming she's there, right? She's going.
Yeah. Where else would she be?
Where did the Chiefs play again?
The Ravens, right?
Oh, it's the Ravens. Yeah, sorry, Ravens. I thought it was the Bengals.
I mean, it's not like they're – I would imagine they're going to have some sort of, like, engagement during a game or something. The NFL is going to stage that.
I thought for sure he was going to propose last year after the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't doubt it if he did tomorrow.
After this year's Super Bowl, when they win three in a row.
Yeah.
I've seen the script. I mean, they're winning.
Don't wish that on us. Don't wish that on us.
All right. We're not going to talk Furman. Obviously, let's look ahead to week two, Middle Tennessee State. Gentlemen, I don't know if y'all were up. I was being a regular sicko and stayed up to watch the end of Middle Tennessee, Tennessee Tech. Boys, when I say the Blue Raiders pulled it out of the fire, I mean, blue flames. I mean, it was hot. And, I mean, Derek Mason really, really, really got lucky. Tennessee Tech scores to go up 25-24. I believe that's what it was. And there's a minute left. I don't know. Their quarterback on third down, if I remember correctly, could have probably scrambled and gotten 4 or 5. Just threw the ball away to make it a very, 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 very uncomfortable fourth down. They get a completion and move the chains and then score on an inside zone right after it to win it. Honestly, I felt bad for Tennessee Tech because I was like, man, that sideline was so pumped. But, yeah, not a good look for Derek Mason and the Blue Raiders. The line is at what now?
41.5.
One and a half, yeah.
Lay them. I mean, this look of this team right now, talking Ole Miss, I mean, we've got some, like, Thanos energy right now where it's like, this team is pissed, and they're trying to prove to everyone that this is a legitimate college football playoff team. I think they're going to just score as much as they possibly can on anybody this year. I mean, last year, you know how Kiffin was very, you know, he would manage games differently depending on the opponent, stuff like that. And like, no, I mean, he's going straight up NCAA 25 it. Like, he's going to be throwing deep in the fourth quarter when he's up 20. So, yeah, lay the points.
Yeah, I think it's telling that last week he was given the option to shorten the quarters and refused it. He wanted to play every minute of that game. And like I mean, I agree with him. I understand the rationale. He wanted to get the backups reps to see what he had. I don't know that we're going to be up 70 whatever this week, but I'm kind of with you, Zach. I definitely wouldn't take 41.5. I can see us getting into the 50s, if not the 60s again. And I think somewhat unheralded from last week was our defensive performance. We gave up like 170 yards. I think the majority of which were on like three busted coverages. Yeah. Basically we had two wheel routes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got
75 yards on those two plays.
I don't want to sound like that guy, but we have to fix that.
No, we do have to, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. You got to get cleaned up, but like two plays accounted for 75 yards. Yeah. None. Yeah. They could not piece together a drive. I think Middle will be better than Furman. Obviously. How many drives do they piece together?
So.
I mean, what are they going to put up 220 yards on this defense? I
think they'll be better because, Ben, you said this earlier in the week to me, probably. I could see Ole Miss wanting to come out and kind of methodically – I mean, I know, Zach, you said they wouldn't do that. I'm not necessarily saying ease off the gas, but I could see Ole Miss coming out here and doing like 45-3. And I think that's exactly what you said, Ben, and just coming out and really laying the hammer down early but – easing off a little bit earlier. I mean, I think Middle Tennessee is awful just based on what they did in the first week. I don't think they're that bad. I mean, I don't think Derek Mason's that bad of a coach. But just looking back, I just wanted you guys to guess if you could. I watch a lot of football, watch a lot of FCS, and I'm pretty aware of FCS teams. I'm not sure that I knew Tennessee Tech had a football team. I really kind of thought that it was just like a school that played basketball in the OVC and baseball. Do you know the last time – I'm aware of that. You know the last time that Tennessee Tech had a winning record in football?
It's got to be like 50s or 60s.
Never. No, winning record. Just a winning record. Not like an unbeaten or anything like that.
1990
years.
2011. Still, okay. They haven't in FCS. They haven't had a winning record in 13 years in Middle Tennessee. I mean, Middle Tennessee is bottom five of FBS based on last week's performance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bad teams. I mean, they're
if you're having any reservations on laying the 41.5, Tennessee Tech put up 341 yards and had 21 first downs against Middle Tennessee.
Oh, I think the play here might be if you get Ole Miss minus like 24 in the first half. Because, again, I don't think that they're going to hang with us. I could just see Ole Miss going, we're on the road next week. We're 2 weeks away from Kentucky. Let's be absolutely certain that we're not getting any injuries. But the defense last week, I looked at – and I remember during the game thinking how dominant they were. I think Walter Nolan played 18 plays. Yeah. It sounds like, why didn't he play at all? That's like five possessions because they only had – two first downs in the first.
It's like the whole first half.
Seven drops, yeah.
There was a point where what's his name tried to pull out Joyner or Golding tried to pull out the entire defensive line. He did, and they put in the freshman unit. Did y'all see this? And
yeah.
Furman got like a 23-yard run. It was like their only positive rushing play of the whole game, and he took the freshman straight back out of the game and put the
put the killers back in. Yeah, yeah.
So
our defensive line is one of those like you can't practice with them type people because they bust stuff up too much. You have to tell Nolan and stuff like, hey, don't rush the QB this play, like, or else you can't get anything done.
The only thing, Nick, about that, which I mean, I could see like a 52-6 win or like 52-3, but you look at last week, they put in the second unit and Austin Simmons throws a bomb the first play. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, they're still going to run the offense. Like,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the second unit D-line, they were killers too. I mean, Jam Brown and Akilo Stone and those guys.
First half line's minus 26.5. Why would you not take that? There's no way we're not up 28.
What's the first quarter line?
10.5? I don't
– 10 flat.
I mean – if you get 10 flat, then you're done.
10 and
I see,
a half.
Yeah, I see 10.
It's,
I see
not 10, like we, right. It's not like we have seven-minute drives.
Yeah.
No.
We didn't do that when we ran the ball. Look, everybody, the mantra on Kiffin forever is that he feeds his best player the ball. And this year, our best players are Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, Juice Wells, and the receivers. It's not Quinshon anymore. Or even when we had Corral was our best player, but we had Dontario Drummond, and then we had Snoop, Connor, and Jerry and Ely. And so there was a little bit of a different approach. And plus, we're trying to keep our defense off the field. Now he knows they're going to just get the ball right back. And so I don't know why we wouldn't be up 21 points in the first quarter. I'm not kidding. I agree. What happened against first? I mean, I can't imagine what the score. I can't remember. It was in the 20s, though, wasn't it, in the first quarter?
Is it 24? Was it 24?
Well, we scored 52.
It was 24 nothing in the first quarter. Yeah. 24 nothing at the end of the first.
I mean, like, was it the first drive, maybe? It was like a third and medium. And they just, you know, motioned Bentley out and just flicked him a little swing pass. And he just got – it was like 9 yards, and he just picked it up. And then after that, it was just business as usual. Where I think there was like a negative play or maybe an incomplete pass or something, and they had a third and medium. And, yeah, you just throw it to Bentley and just let him go get the first down. So there's going to be a lot of that on Saturday. I guess my point is the – like, I don't know. Again, going back to, like, the Thanos energy. Like, this team has an edge to them. Like, they appear to be laser-focused and very motivated to get some more. They're getting tons of recognition. People are, you know, they're ranked, you know, 5 or 6, depending on what poll. But I still think they're still like the, well, it's just Ole Miss. You know, well, Ole Miss, you know, they'll probably lose a couple that they're not supposed to. And I think that pisses this team off. So, I like this week, next week at Wake, I mean, they're going to beat the hell out of Wake. And then you get Georgia Southern right before SEC play kicks off. I don't know, man. This team, it's a different vibe to it.
Yeah, real quick, we don't have to talk too much about Ole Miss and, you know, against Wake Forest, but what do you guys think that line's going to be? It's going to be in the 20s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially after this week. Because they're losing this week, by the way.
That's a beat down on the road.
27.5?
That's Ohio State stuff. You know, and they go on the road to Indiana and they're minus 31.
20.5.
I feel like that's low. Yeah,
I'm gotta take Ole Miss, especially first half, because if first half will be like 10 flat, maybe.
I have no idea what Dave Clawson has. The claw fence, though, that slow mesh, dude. Walter
He's
Nolan,
gonna get his quarterback down.
They're gonna shove the center into the running back in the mesh. Like,
yeah. I thought. For whatever reason in my head that we were going to run a 3-man front. I was so pleased to see the 4-man front because we Pegues and Nolan next to each other. And then Princely, and I guess they started Ivy.
Ivy, yeah.
Dude, what's his name coming off the bench? I know he's kind of a tweener, but Perkins, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, the
I mean, I'm not saying that in a bad way.
And think about this. I'm sure everybody watched Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
What if Tyler Barron is still at Ole Miss?
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, he was tearing up Florida.
But I mean, everybody was tearing up Florida.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good game.
Is Wilkins back or is he still injured?
Who?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Is who back?
Jordan Watkins.
Watkins. I said Wilkins. Sorry. Watkins.
I don't know. I hadn't heard anything.
Honestly, just resting. Keep resting. Yeah.
What is it? Hamstring or something?
I think so.
Yeah, hamstring. I would love to see as many people play against Wake Forest as possible, though, just because I think you need to start ramping up if you want to be ready for Kentucky, USC, LSU, that 3-week stretch there.
For sure. Because even as bad as Wake is, they would be favored over Furman by 30 and over Middle by 17 or whatever. Like,
Nick, I think we're, because you're going right to wake.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to have. You'll probably have the media guide. You might just have it in your back pocket, or just have the roster pulled up on the phone. Because I think third, fourth quarter, we're gonna be doing a lot of, wait, who is that? Because
yeah,
our good buddy, friend of the program, Stephen Hartzell, he's up there in the Winston-Salem area, and I asked him how Wake was, and he was just like, dude, they're bad. So
you know who their quarterback is? Who actually did not win the – he did not – I don't think he's the starter, but it's a name. Hank Bachmeier. Remember that?
Yeah, Bachmeier. Oh. We talked about it last week.
Did he go to Oregon, then Boise?
Boise, yeah. So, actually, I don't know that he started last week, but they may start him this week.
Yeah.
Let's look that up.
Wake won 45-13 over North Carolina A&T. Struggled. I mean, it was 17-13 at the half.
Yeah, it's a fool's gold 45, man.
Is it? Yeah, Bachmeier started. He did start.
Did he? Okay. Another dude.
This is like, y'all remember back, we would, like, Houston Nutt or Hugh Freeze days where it'd be like, you know, 17-3 at halftime, but we would win like 62-3 or 62-17. It's like, well, we scored 35 touchdowns in the second half when they're all the opponent's tired. Last week, yes, everybody talks about how many players left Furman or whatever. It's still a program that wins. Mm-hmm. And we put up 52.5 with very little resistance from them, almost no resistance. Yeah. The one thing, if I were to pick nits, would be I would love for us to look a little bit more efficient running the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got weeks to figure that out, but the passing game was so strong,
you get healthy.
It's hard to defend us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get healthy up front. I mean, I think that kind of goes without saying. Everyone could, you know, anytime you're playing a couple backups on the offensive line, I think it's going to, I would think most people would say backups. I think it's going to be a struggle. You're right, though. I mean, obviously, early in the game, we weren't doing what we'd like to have done running. I think that'll get fixed.
All right. You guys ready to get into some locks?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Should we do it like whoever, you know, kind of first pick goes to whoever had the best week?
Yeah, if that's fine. Or we could go reverse name. Who went first last time? Do we go name?
I think I did, yeah.
We go alphabetical.
So it would be Zach, Nick, me, Austin, and snake it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
it doesn't really matter.
Whoever's winning after the first 2 weeks will go with the leader from that point. Just so everybody has an equal chance of first pick.
Okay. All right, I'll kick it off then. I am going to go to – I'm going to go back to the well. They were good to me last year, and Lord knows that they're probably still going to be good this year because they've had the same quarterback for what seems like a decade. I'm going to go out to Salt Lake City and take the Utes at home over Baylor. I am seeing 14.5. Do we decide on which books we're using?
Well, I think if you can find a book that's, you know,
Hard Rock juice. Has it at 14.
What's the juice on that?
-115.
I mean, that's acceptable. It's not like it's 145 or something crazy.
I think anything down from 120, you know, 115, 114.
Okay. I mean, I don't think the hook's going to bother me here. I still think Baylor's in a weird spot with Dave Aranda. I don't think they're really any better. But Utah's damn good. I think they have a legitimate case to win the conference this year. I think they're going to be really tough to beat in the Big 12. And Cam Rising's really good. Yeah, so I'm going to lay the points there with Utah. I just, you know, trust the quarterback. Pretty ho-hum, 49-0 whipping over Southern Utah last week. Cam Rising threw 5 touchdowns. Just not really like Utah. I mean, they're not going to just sling it all over the yard. Michael Bernard only ran it five times. I feel like he's going to get a pretty healthy dose of carries. And I like the skill guys.
Where's this game at?
It's in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I love it. I'm not the biggest Dave Aranda guy. I think I thought I was back in the day. Like going back and looking at his defensive numbers, he had a good 5-year stretch in the mid 20 teens. It's been a long time since the last top 30 defense he had was in 2017 with LSU. He had a pretty good team in 21 against Baylor. We found that out the hard way. Other than that, he's 2-7, 6-7, and 3-9 at Baylor. Maybe he's just very good.
Had some NFL dudes on that defense in that Sugar Bowl. Baylor's quarterback is Daquan Finn. No idea. He had two picks.
Yeah, from Toledo, right?
Is that where he's from? Okay.
Yeah.
That's an impressive pull.
Yeah. It's like the best quarterback in the MAC. I mean, I know it's the MAC, but not a bad pull for Baylor out of the portal.
Pretty good backfield for the Rockets back then with Penny Boone. But
Penny Boone and Daquan Finn, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think Baylor's any good, and Utah is very good. So, and plus, we all know Rice Eccles is hell to go play in. Not only just altitude, but it's a pretty raucous environment. So, yeah, Utah laying the 14.
Yeah, only thing I want to hear you there is daytime. I agree. All right, my turn. Let's see. I don't think – actually, this might be a money line sprinkle for me as well. So, I'm going to save that part for later. But I'm going with Illinois. They're getting 5.5. The line opened at 5.5. It's still 5.5. They're hosting Kansas. One of the best, if not the best, rushing defense in the country last year. I think they gave up about 50 yards rushing in the first game. Only concern a little bit, I guess, is they've got Luke Altmyer, the former start role quarterback transfer QB there. I don't think he's like exceptional, but I think he kind of gets the job done for Illinois. He's just like does just enough. It's in Champaign. I kind of feel like, I don't want to say wrong team's favored, but I just don't look at this Kansas team and I'm like, this Kansas team is unbelievable. They should be favored by nearly a touchdown at an Illinois team. And the number I've got here is that Bielema's 9-3 in his last 12 home underdog of 5 or more points. So he wins a lot of those games, not against the spread, wins a lot of those games. I just don't think Kansas is great. They're a pretty good team. They'll probably be in the mix in the Big 12, but I think Illinois' rush defense really good. So 5.5, give me that.
I like that one a lot. I think Burt will make this like a back alley brawl. He can drag Kansas down into the mud. They have a tendency to play slow anyway in terms of pace. So if you're expecting a slow pace game, I think points will be at a premium. I agree with you. Your initial read too. I think Illinois money line is live here.
Yeah, that's going to be what?
I can get you
200.
Yeah, something like that, Nick. What?
I want the 5.5.
You're taking Illinois. Sorry.
The key number at five.
My bad.
In case it's a 21-16 game.
All right, just to make it interesting, I'm gonna go at you here. I'm gonna go Kansas -5.
Oh.
Okay.
Never mind. I like Kansas. I think Jalen Daniels is a lot of fun, and I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. And
he gets a lot of credit to me. I think he's well rated. I think he's a good quarterback. I do.
People don't say he sucks, but I think he doesn't get enough pub. And Devin Neal's a hell of a running back too. I like that little 1-2 punch in the backfield. I don't know. The line does kind of stink a little bit, but this is kind of one of those where it's like, well, I'm going to go against that. And I think Leipold will have them ready because it's right into week two, you're playing a P4 opponent. I think they're going to be ready. All the points you made, Nick, are spot on. I mean, Bielema's the dude that's going to be able to motivate that team, but man, if Luke Altmyer's under center, I'm taking Jalen Daniels in that matchup.
So, not to change the subject, but you said Leipold. You know, Florida fans want Kiffin or like a name like that, like some splashy hire. Leipold is the type of coach they're going to have to get, right?
And that's what they should get, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be exactly him. He's a Midwest guy, and now he's in Kansas, and that's where he may not – you know,
can't care about that anymore.
You can't. Kids don't. I mean, they don't care.
Yeah, that's Alabama, man. That's Kalen DeBoer. Like, who gives a shit where he's from? He wins.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Leipold. He's won that's everywhere right. he's been. That's a good point. Yeah, like, Florida's got to get out of that, like, well, we got to get a big SEC. Like, no, just go find a winner that you can get.
Yeah, and
because I don't think Florida can get Kiffin.
No, Kiffin's going to be too expensive. I mean, frankly, for the return, the ROI – is you could get Leipold for probably half the price, and he could at least right the ship to where you're an 8-9 win team for the next guy. But for Kiffin, you're going to have to invest like $100 million after buying out Napier and his staff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tall ask.
What's that number at?
20s. Oh, I don't know. With including staff, it's got to be in the 30s.
Yeah. Leipold only makes 5.1 right now. That's only makes, but compared to Kiffin, yeah, it's way cheaper.
The thing about Kiffin going to, and we don't have to turn this podcast into this. I know it's week two and whatever, but like people say it's easier now to flip a roster than it's ever been with NIL and the portal. And I think that's probably true, but I think that underestimates what it takes, the infrastructure in place that you have to have in order to flip the roster. In other words, you have to have the collective infrastructure in place, all those synergies already built in order to capitalize on NIL and the portal. They're putting the cart before the horse, in other words, right? So, yeah, maybe Kiffin, if he were to go to Florida, could, you know, get like a transfer wide receiver from Michigan State and a center from USC or whatever, much like he did at Ole Miss. Maybe he could do that. But he would be starting from scratch in terms of building their collective into what it needs to be. Like, they don't have anything like the Grove Collective. I'm not just talking about in terms of overall dollars. I'm talking about the synergy that exists between the Grove Collective and the university. Think about this. Keith Carter and Walker Jones, they're like the same age. Same age. They're the same dude, basically. Walker Jones is essentially an extension of the university without being part of the university, right? Like, you don't just find that at every collective. You can't just grow that. Like, you can't just astroturf that, rather. That's organic. Like, it has to happen naturally on its own. Who does Florida bring in to build all this stuff, to put all these things in place? Like, you can't just assemble it overnight. That's not how it works.
And there also, this is – I know we got to get back on track. That they are not built – like, Ole Miss was built for this, for, collectives. Like, this, we've never been able to play the game because they wouldn't let us play the game.
We're the most penalized program in college football history.
Yeah. So now that we can play the game, everybody else played. Everybody's like, wait, how are they? You know, now they don't say that though. Most individuals, other than Florida fans and your occasional Mississippi State fan, are like, he would be crazy to take that job.
Yeah. Yeah, all the dudes who are Ole Miss is doing 90 and a 75 have gotten real quiet over the last 18 months and 2 years.
Yeah.
If Ole Miss is doing 90 and a 75, then Henry Ruggs is driving the Oregon car.
Yeah, 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 right.
Because they're just – I mean, Phil Knight is basically just like, you know, I can't remember how old he is. He looks like hammered shit. I mean, he looks terrible. And he's
got to be 80. Got to be
80. My point is just that the people that were cheerleading
– Yeah, he's like, I want a title before I die.
Yeah, but the people that were cheerleading while Laramie Tunsil was suspended for 7 games for a rental car – suddenly you're all about player empowerment and like NIL and shit. It's just real
you
funny.
Can't, how that's, you can't, and those people you can't flip. And I think it's partly why Mississippi State's struggling so much is you can't on a dime say, you know what? Now I'm okay with paying. Like, I'm okay with these guys getting paid. Like, so it's like, no, that was never who you are, dude. Well, like, no, you can't suddenly not be that guy. All right. I'll pick next, my, and I'll go fast. Como, Missouri. We're going to lay the points with the Missouri Tigers 34.5 over Buffalo. Buffalo struggled with Lafayette, not Louisiana Lafayette, but Lafayette like is in the Patriot League. The Leopards, correct? Who's rivals like Ivy League opponents, Penn or somebody like that, Lehigh, that's who they play. They're not going to – Buffalo's not going to have the horses to keep up with Brady Cook and Luther Burden. And this is more of a – we talk about this all the time. I'm a scheduling guy, and Missouri is, in their mind, competing with us for a playoff. They don't – similar to how Kiffin's going to run up the score on everybody, so is Drinkwitz. He is going to beat the dog shit out of Buffalo.
And they need to, because his schedule is soft as hell. So they got to run it up. They've got to run it up on everybody.
That's right.
All right, Austin, who you got?
All right, we're going unconventional here. Boise State went down to Georgia last week and gave up like 500 yards to Georgia Southern. And but for a heroic effort by Boise's running back, who scored 6 touchdowns last week, by the way, Jackson Dart-like numbers, Boise might have lost that game on the road.
Still can't believe Ashton Genty didn't get in the portal.
I know, man. I was kind of hoping he would come to the SIP. But so Boise goes from Statesboro, Georgia, back home to Boise for practice a few games. And now they got to go to Oregon this week, right? Oregon had a really bad showing in week one. Somehow, Idaho kept it close. We'll go a little unconventional. Oregon team total over 41.5 was the last number I saw. Unless y'all tell me differently, we're going over 41.5.
Okay.
It's a major bounce back for Oregon. They're going to run Boise out of the building.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It needs to be, though. That last week was bad.
It was bad.
I'm jumping on this one, too. I'm going to go ahead and scroll. I was going to do total.
I've got a good total here if you want to keep looking.
Go ahead. I need to see it. I'm with you, Austin. I do think Oregon makes a huge statement, but I want to see it first because Idaho's a solid FCS team. Like, they're really good. Like, they go deep in the playoffs.
Rivalry game.
Little concerning with the offensive line at Oregon.
A
little weird.
Yeah, they're banged up. They're a little banged up. Yeah. But Boise's defense was porous last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Tez Johnson's going to have a big day. Dylan Gabriel, you know that they want to bounce back and get him back in the Heisman conversation. Ah, fuck it. I'll do it. I'm going to lay the points with Oregon.
Boise gave up 45 last week.
To Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
I'm laying.
What's that final score?
I don't 55-45.
Yeah, I'm laying the 20.
All right.
Go. I got one. Go, Nick.
Okay, this is the biggest game of the week, probably. I mean, College Game Day is there. I don't think y'all expected me after the teams that I picked. By the way, for the record, Vanderbilt over 2.5, looking pretty good.
Oh, that's cash.
On the season. Yeah. I mean, they've got Alcorn and Ball State left, and again, I can't. They're going to win. And
Auburn. SEC they got Auburn game. Left.
I was going to say, Auburn please, left. Please make Auburn the third win.
Oh, wouldn't that be? They're going to win.
Diego Pavia does the Marshall Henderson at the Auburn.
That's him. He has the New Mexico State shirt underneath. They're not winning 6 games. I'm not putting a pass on that they would win 4. Okay. Texas, Michigan, next College Game Day's here this week. Big game, big noon kickoffs there. Texas is 1-4 under Sarkisian against top 10 teams. That game was against Alabama. Everyone remembers it. Why would that team be favored by more than a touchdown on the road against the defending national champions? They lost their coach. They lost their running back. They lost their quarterback. I get that. That's not a bad Michigan team, and you're giving me more than a touchdown. I think even at 6.5, I'd probably still have to take Michigan. But once it crosses 7, I mean, it started at 3.5, and it's all the way up to 7.5.
You could get 3.5 like a week ago.
That is – yeah, yeah. So it's what it opened at. I mean, that's what it opened at Sunday.
Yeah, what Michigan to cover?
I'm picking Michigan to cover. That's disrespectful. They're the defending national champions. Again, I know they've lost a lot. They had a lot of turnover, the coach being number one. but 7.5 points over a Texas team that also lost a whole lot. Like, are we, or because they destroyed, they, you know, stomped a hole in Colorado State, are we crowning Texas? Sarkisian has not been great at Texas against top 10 teams. Again, like I said, 1-4, and they're going to expect it to beat Michigan by 10 points. I just think it's going to be like a low scoring 20-21 game. Doesn't score.
Isn't it crazy how we don't know what Ole Miss is yet, but Texas can blow out Colorado State and all of a sudden for Alabama?
And the line was so 4 points. I mean, I know we only have one week to go on, but it's 1 week. It's one data sample. How's the line move 4 points in 5 days? That's insane.
This could be a money line sprinkle, dude. Like,
here, I don't want to ride Nick's jock, so I'm not going to take Michigan 7.5, and I don't want to cut in line. But like, since we're on the game, can I go ahead and lock up Michigan first half plus 4?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I love that. I mean, no, we can take multiple games the same if you like the game.
Maybe this is just Vegas remembering that Connor Stallions is not on staff anymore.
I mean, it must be.
Do we know for certain that he's not still helping, though? I mean,
he's probably going to be in the game. But, yeah. I mean, Fresno State was in that game for a while.
They were.
And what are they doing starting the walk-on quarterback?
I was going to say the quarterbacks thing is still an issue. I just don't think that Texas is – I mean, that's a whole different ball game, what they're going to face up front for Michigan as opposed to what they saw last week against Colorado State. On the road, they're calling for a maze out.
This might be the best front that Texas faces all year, and I know they play Georgia.
I don't know, man. It doesn't always work. It's not an undefeated – you know, formula, but the quarterback matchup, man. I mean, Ewers.
Oh, they can win by 3.
Yeah. I know Will Johnson's over there, but just don't go at him. And I don't know. It's a very intriguing game. Like, Nick could be dead on here. Michigan gets it in the mud and makes it a weird game where they just, you know, slow everything down and shorten the game, but Texas is going to be ready, and they're going to have big play potential.
And again, the quarterback thing is probably something to keep going back on. And it was Fresno State. You said it was 30-10. It was a sluggish game. I admit that. Do you have any rushing yards Fresno State had last week?
Probably
fewer than their points. They had 9 rushing yards.
I was going to say, Texas is not going to run. Quinn Ewers is definitely the better quarterback in this game, but Texas is not going to be able to run the ball in Michigan at all.
And he's not a mobile guy.
No, and if you can make the other team completely one-dimensional, I think Texas is good enough. They're going to shut one side of the field down with their corner. We'll see, man. I think Texas wins, but I'm with Nick. 7.5. It's crazy.
I'm glad our game's not until 3:15 so we can see this whole game, because I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I love it being at 11.
All right, who's next? Sorry.
Zach. Is it my guy? All right. Have we talked about Auburn yet?
Nope.
I would love to.
Auburn lays 13 at home against Cal, and I'm actually going to take Auburn here.
I agree.
Against 13. For the same reasons that I took Missouri against Buffalo. I just think Freeze is going to try to run up these early games, build some momentum, and there is no – I'll be very quick. I think 13 is just too low. It opened at 11.5. I would love to get a 12.5 or even a 12, but at 13, which is just about virtually every book, I think Auburn – the total is something around 53. I think Auburn wins this game 31-17. It goes under and they cover.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see how Jay Knott looks against Auburn. Really good running back. You know, Justin Wilcox they've been preparing for this. They didn't prepare for shit with UC Davis in week one. This the whole offseason was building to going on the road and playing at Auburn. So that's probably a good pick, though. I'm with you. Freeze he's going to run it up to try to impress recruits and all that.
There's too much of a talent difference, I think.
Yeah, especially at the skill positions now, because I think Freeze actually has the receivers that it will take to get margin this year. Last year, he couldn't really get margin on people because they're run oriented, whatever. I think he's got some weapons outside now. I think against a team like Cal, they're just going to be overmatched from start to finish.
I'm gonna test a theory this year on betting SEC teams against non-Big Ten or elite opponents like Miami, and to see if the talent difference is now there to where, like, Auburn and Cal are not 13-point teams anymore. You know, 10 years ago they might have been, but now with NIL and that sort of thing, I think that you're going to see even bigger separation. It sands that, like I said, Miami is one that Florida State is – well, not this year, but, you know, USC, those teams, Washington maybe to an extent – but like Cal's not that's not the same thing as those. So I'm gonna try to pay attention to, and right now maybe we can take advantage of the market just has not caught up with the talent difference.
Yeah.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's the total? I would take the... Could possibly look at taking the under because we were just talking about Freeze running it up, but I could also see Wilcox 53. Really. Okay. Yeah, I could see like a, like Ben just said, a 31-10 or something like that. I mean, that would be under.
I think they're gonna
run the ball and try to play keep away.
I don't know what Auburn's like on defense, but I've never known an Auburn team to lack length up front and being able to get in the backfield. So this one may not be able to, because we all know how Freeze, but Auburn tends to just, and maybe that part of the country, they just have athletes that can do that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and jump on it since no one else has grabbed it yet. Let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska. And yeah, we're laying 7. Look, man, I know he looks like him and got the same number. Dylan Raiola looked damn good last week. That kid makes some throws that are impressive for a teenager. Dude, Rule's going to have them ready to go. And Colorado was fortunate to not lose to North Dakota State. There were plenty of no calls on several Travis Hunter receptions. I don't know if anybody – I didn't see it talked about on Twitter enough. I think we talked about it after. Whoever was keeping the game clock at Folsom Field cheated the Bison out of like 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. They catch that Hail Mary.
They need to come to the SIP, whoever's running the clock at Folsom Field.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. The Deion stuff is done. Like, he days are numbered. This is the same Colorado team. Nothing has changed. Shador's going to get hurt because he runs around. He takes too many hits. Travis Hunter is as special as all hell, but he can't do it all. And I think, there are going to be 100,000 people at this game. This has been all that Rule has been building towards, where it's like, hey, I got my quarterback now. We've got some skill dudes. We're ready. Will Compton was on J.D. Pickell's show today. And look, I know he's a homer. He's a Nebraska alum. He played in Nebraska, but he was like, man, I think we can beat their ass. So, of course he's going to say that, but he's not an idiot. He knows football. I don't know, man. I feel like Nebraska might get in that ass a little bit. So yeah, I'm like, if it's just 7, yeah, give me that.
I can't get to 7. I think Nebraska wins, but I like the over better. And I want to lock that in.
Yeah.
If you can give me 58.5, can I get that?
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a 58.5. I just think both teams are going to trade punches. I like Raiola. He actually has, for once, Nebraska has a quarterback that can go downfield. They've got some skill guys. I don't think they're going to completely shut down Colorado's skill guys. Colorado's got some receivers, man. If their O-line can give Shador enough time, I think they're going to get theirs. I just think Nebraska is going to edge them out at the end there. But I don't know. I would not take Colorado. Let me put it that way. But I think this game gets in the 30s. I think both teams play in the 30s.
Yeah. Also a good pick. It's going to be a lot of scoring. But, if you told me Nebraska ran away with it 48-31, I wouldn't be shocked.
Mm-hmm. Follow me.
And maybe I'm going with, my heart here because I'm sick and tired of Deion. But I think Nebraska is going to handle business.
I have another pick. I know I just went, but if y'all want to go,
go ahead. Fine. Go ahead.
All right. Going to Iowa City. The total in that game is 35.5, and I'm not touching it. I am going to lay
head fake.
Yeah. I'm going to lay. If I get 2.5, I want 2.5, but if it's 3, that's fine. I'm going to lay 3 with Iowa. Iowa has a better offense than they
– 3.
That new offense coordinator. No more.
I can get you 2.5.
Is there 2.5 available?
FanDuel's got it 2.5.
Yeah, is that a 110? I don't want to.
118.
Yeah, fair enough. Nick said less than one. Look at him. He's regretting it now.
I said 15 or.
He didn't want 20 or less. He did.
15 or less. I said 20.
Look, Iowa State got hammered on the ground by North Dakota, not North Dakota State or whatever, by North
UND
Dakota last
week. Yeah.
I think Iowa wins by 2 touchdowns. This line's wrong. This is a rivalry game line. I'm not following this at all. I don't think that what's Iowa State's quarterback's name, Rocco,
Rocco Media.
Yeah, Cade McNamara, he's going to throw for a couple touchdowns, and they're going to beat Iowa State 24-10. Iowa State's not going to get anything going against Iowa. Iowa still has not even
Rocco. It's Rocco Beck.
But,
I was making a golf joke.
Oh, I know. Yeah. He's getting
Rocco's modern life.
Yeah. what a name. I could pick Iowa State on that alone, but they're not in the same class as Iowa. And so Iowa's going to cover 2.5 easy. If you want to give me 3, that's fine. I don't care.
It's 2.5. You got 2.5. FanDuel, proud sportsbook of On3. So, yeah, you can absolutely get 2.5.
Iowa State's down there starting 2 linebackers as well, I think.
Yeah. And Isham Young ain't walking through that door.
No.
No. That's a good
point. Has anyone just slammed their head in a door more than – I cannot believe that Matt Campbell has stayed there this long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, just – waited too long to get out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just he's stuck.
Yeah.
Who else had happened to? Tulsa's coach or Toledo's coach? Yeah. Or
Candle?
Candle. Jason Candle, yeah, he's still there.
Ironically enough, that's where Campbell came good, from, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's life could just be good for him. It could be like to a lesser extent, a Lane Kiffin situation. You kind of find your groove, and it's like, well, I mean –
And look, now they're positioned pretty well in that conference with Texas and OU gone. I mean, you could actually win some games, make some hay as Iowa State.
Yeah. And if you win your conference at the Big 12, you still get a playoff bid, don't you? So,
yeah, right. You're still
and there. Who do you have to get through? Oklahoma State and Baylor?
TCU occasionally. TCU. Yeah. Well, I guess Utah now.
But Utah now, yeah.
Yeah.
UCF. Think about who your competition is.
Yeah.
It's, man. That 9-3 year in 2020, winning the Fiesta Bowl, that feels like forever ago.
Mm-hmm. Was that with Brock Purdy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was his senior year, or junior year, whatever, last one.
Yeah, finished ranked ninth in the country that year.
All right, let me go to the battle of the academic schools, I suppose. Not Vanderbilt.
We talked about
not Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech. Duke and Northwestern, this is an absolute sick game. It's at whatever Martin Field, Northwestern Hospital Stadium at Martin Field.
The water polo practice.
Lake Michigan.
Yeah, seriously, they should have called it Lake Michigan Stadium. On the banks of Lake Michigan, this is an 8 o'clock kickoff. It's just crazy. It's 8 o'clock Friday kickoff. I really failed to mention that.
Great game to fall asleep to. Oh, my
God. Oh, perfect. Perfect. This is a crazy game. 8 o'clock Friday kick. Duke's getting 2.5. I really don't have any analysis other than I just think Northwestern's bad. They beat Miami of Ohio 13-6 last week. And you counter with saying, yeah, but Duke beat Elon 23-6. I mean, Duke was kind of bad
last
week.
Take the under.
Northwestern's kind of – that's not fun, though. That's not fun.
Yeah.
It's 37.5, and it. But would it be surprising at all if both these teams came out and their defenses were just crap, actually, when they faced a better team, and it was like 42-41 or something? Just the you know,
that would be surprising.
Okay, counterpoint: 21-20 doesn't go well over. So, I'm taking Duke in the points just because I don't think Northwestern's good enough to give 20s, anything.
You can give me 0 wins this week.
I think this one is, I mean, this is an awful game. I had to look up exactly where it was. Yeah. Northwestern beat Miami of Ohio 13-6. Duke at home was 26-3 over Elon. I actually think Duke's defense is kind of good. They're sneaky okay. Elon, and I know what you're saying, it's Elon, but they did nothing on Duke last week. They didn't move the ball at all. At any point in the game did they move the ball on Duke. So Duke in 2.5, give it to me.
You know what? Shout out to Guy and Jory at Benison's, right at Davis and Maple, right off the purple line. Top-notch pastries in there. So, for those that are at that game, just get there early. Go get you a coffee. Get you a Danish or a donut from Benison's. Nick, this game being at night, there's going to be kids in like the Medill school. They're going to be yelling at them to keep it down because they're studying or something.
Oh, like they're mad that they don't have anywhere to park.
Yeah. Dude, there's zero parking in Evanston right there. I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know. I know the stadium's a big punchline. I do think it still looks kind of cool.
Oh, it's very cool, I think.
Like right there on the lake, it's pretty sick. But it is just, it's a high school field.
Yeah, it seats what, max? Permanently moved. Is it like $20,000 or 20,000 people? Is that right?
Oh, I thought it was like 14,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be any more than 20.
Yeah.
I like the total too.
They had 12,023 last week at the game. And I'm pretty sure it was a sellout. They're all premium seats from what I can understand. So, by the way, Elon last week had 140 total yards. Again, it's Elon. I understand that. You don't have to tell me that. But they were very bad against Duke's defense. I think that's a pretty decent deal. I mean, Duke had 17 first downs against Elon. That's
pretty. Do y'all know how many first downs we had last week? And we had a bunch of big plays.
As many.
I bet it wasn't that crazy. I bet it was like 22 or something.
No, it was like 47.
Oh. I was going to say, because I thought we had touchdowns.
It really was like 40. I'm not kidding. 37, 40. Look it up. It was a lot.
Circling back to the beginning of the pod, I just realized who Tennessee Tech plays this week.
Georgia. Yeah. They're getting 53. If you can find it. If you can find it.
Yeah. I just saw it.
I feel like I'm going favorites. Or I'm laying points in every game this week, but I've got another one I want to lay them in. But I'm gonna let y'all pick a couple, see if y'all get it.
Yeah, go ahead. You can get
the 53.5 at FanDuel if you want it. Go ahead.
You got a pick?
That's crazy stuff taking that.
Go ahead.
I got one. Yeah.
Go.
Or somebody.
I want to go back to our friends in Starkville who I faded last week at my peril, but they're on the road at Arizona State. I want the total. I want the total. Okay. This game's going over. Neither one of these teams are going to stop each other. It opened at 58.5. I think it steamed up to 59.5, where I'm going to take it over 59.5. I just think a Jeff Lebby offense can get me into the mid to high 20s. Arizona State rolled Wyoming last week. Even with Wyoming trying to slow the game down, they couldn't. So if Arizona State can duplicate that effort, I think this goes way over. I think we're getting into like the 70s here.
Agree. Yeah. That's a good pick.
Speaking of that game, look, I've got boots on the ground in Tempe. The city is buzzing. I mean, people are already camping out. I mean, you've got campers out there. People are fired up for this. I'm laying 6 with the Sun Devils.
Is it down to 6?
No. Is it?
Yes. ESPN bet, Caesars.
Jeez. I wish I'd caught that. Wow.
All right. Y'all continue. Go on.
Here comes Nick. Here comes the proprietor.
What the hell do you have a problem with? I just gave you four books.
The proprietor.
The line's fine. I'm saying
he wants to pick money line.
Talk your talk about the Sun Devils. Talk your talk.
You didn't. Dude, Nick is the moderator on crankingdogs.com.
Nothing miss you.
Look,
not a friend.
I don't trust Jeff Lebby and this team of no names to go into Mountain America Stadium and get a win.
No.
I mean, it's going to be a late kick.
This is a tough spot.
And look, all jokes aside, this is an Ole Miss podcast, and you know we're going to poke fun at Mississippi State, but I don't think it's a good team. And like Austin said, I mean, Arizona State looked good. I mean, Wyoming's not bad, and they whipped them.
They controlled that game, like, in every facet.
And this will be, like, one of their biggest games of the year. Keep that in mind. Sure. This is a SEC team coming to town. They will tailgate. It'll be crowded, you know, the whole deal.
And you're finally getting to that point in Tempe where it's, like, low 80s at night. So, like, it won't be terrible.
Breezy.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Dillingham's going to – they're going to score. He knows what to do. And I don't trust a Mississippi State team going two time zones or whatever over to get a win on the road. It's only six.
I liked it more when it was seven. That's for sure. But I'm just going to tell you guys this. MSU was up 35-3 in the second quarter against Eastern Kentucky, who is not very good. But when Ole Miss did it, everyone was like, oh, Ole Miss is killing up Furman, beating up on Furman. MSU does it, and we don't mention it. So I'm just going to go ahead and take this here. It's not the biggest number I'd like to get. I'd love to have gotten it when the number got to seven or if it goes up a little bit later. But I'm taking – and, Ben, I wish there was a flashback button so we could go back 7 minutes ago when you said, I'm going to start taking SEC teams whenever they're playing non-Big Ten or SEC teams. This is a Big 12 team. This is not a good Arizona State team. Plus 200, money line sprinkle for MSU.
This is not a full-strength SEC team.
Fair, but I don't think – I think MSU is sneaky better than y'all give them credit for. They destroyed Eastern Kentucky last week.
Arizona State destroyed Wyoming.
Correct. Different caliber of player, I think. I just think it's a different caliber of player. I don't think that going on the road.
Who is off camera right now holding a gun to your head?
Was the last time a Mississippi State team faced a team from Arizona, what'd they do? They beat a significantly better Arizona team last year. Before Fajita was the quarterback.
Okay.
And with five turnovers.
But a much better Arizona team.
What did they have in common, though? It's just the same state.
Like, they're from the same state. Yeah, that was it.
What if they played the University of
Phoenix? Arizona gave them that game in a fucking edible arrangement.
Like, it was the same board of directors, the same board of regents.
Jeez. That Tucson Tippy, they both start with T.
But yeah, right. But they're in the same interstate. Plus 200. Please talk to them.
Yeah, plus 200.
All right. I've got another favorite that I want to. Points I'm going to lay. Let's go to Stillwater.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lay 7.5 with the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah.
I like that.
I can't talk tonight. Arkansas beat up Pine Bluff. Did y'all watch any of those highlights at all? Pine Bluff, it's like I'm not so sure that they would beat Northwest Mississippi Community College. And I'm not being funny there. Their defenders looked like they were standing still. Oklahoma State has the best running back in college football. No offense to Quinshon Judkins or whoever he's a backup to. Ollie Gordon is awesome. Oklahoma State has one of the oldest offensive lines in college football. They've actually played together. But I mean, they're not as old as our offensive line, but they are old enough to give me comfort against an Arkansas team that lost its best defender in Poupon to Ole Miss. And Arkansas has a more, in my opinion, more of a running threat at quarterback than a passing threat. I don't think they're going to be able to keep pace with Oklahoma State. This is also going to be I would love for it to be a night game. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff, but this is a big game for Oklahoma State, a team that is going, in their mind, believes that they can make the playoff if they win the Big 12. This is another SEC opponent coming to town. Again, I know what I said earlier about the SEC opponents, but in this case, I don't think Arkansas is a full-strength SEC team. They're reeling with a coach that's likely in his last year, no matter how good or bad they do. They do have Bobby Petrino. I don't care. You're giving me 7.5. It opened 8.5. It's gone down to 7.5. I get an extra point. the public is still begging us to take our, I mean, I'm sorry, the book is still begging us to take Arkansas. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to take Oklahoma State and lay 7.5 and think that they win by like 10 to 14.
I like it.
A lot of Talen Green hype after that game with him and Bobby Petrino, and oh, they had it cooking against UAPB. I don't think Isaac Tesla is going to be all SEC this year because of Bobby Petrino. Like, it's going to take him a minute. Because I mean, I think we can all agree, right? Whenever Sam Pittman gets canned, Bobby's going to get the job, right?
I don't know. I think they're going to go after Barry Odom.
Is he at UNLV?
Bobby, keep Bobby at OC.
I've heard some Rhett Lashley too.
Rhett, yeah, maybe. Yeah, back to this game. Oklahoma State handled the number one team in FCS last week. Like,
yeah,
South Dakota State's a good team. That's a good team. Yeah. And Oklahoma State, like, throttled them. I think they are significantly better than Arkansas.
That was a game that I considered looking at last week,
mm-hmm.
and I was hesitant because of the Jackrabbits, because they're good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they whipped them because, yeah, look, if Alan Bowman doesn't turn it over, because, I mean, God knows he's challenging for Spencer Sanders' record at Oklahoma State for turnovers, but – he was good last week. And then, yeah, Ollie Gordon's Ollie Gordon. I don't have the number in front of me. I feel like Mike Gundy teams play well at home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
dude, they'll be rowdy. This is an SEC game, you know, SEC team coming into Stillwater. They're going to be rowdy for this. 11 a.m. doesn't matter. I mean, I'm like, Ben, if you're taking Oklahoma State, I wish it was like 6:30 or whatever, but they're going to be ready for Arkansas. Like, they're not.
And you know Mike wants to win, so he can say something cute in the post game about
this. And because he's a good coach, man. He's a flawed dude in a lot of ways, but he's a good coach.
Yeah. These teams have played 35 times, by the way, but none since 1980. I just thought it was interesting. That's a lot of times still played in none in the last 40 years. Also,
yeah,
I was looking at Bill C from ESPN's got the stuff on, like, he ranks all teams between FBS, FCS, D2, D3, NAIA. It's 764 teams, which obviously, you know, if you bet the 764 team against 763, he doesn't really have any idea of how the difference, but he has them ranked UAPB, who Arkansas beat in week one, 367th. All right. Five spots ahead of UNC Pembroke. Okay. Like, behind teams you've never heard of before. There are 150 spots behind Mercyhurst. I mean, absolute, not a real school.
Like, where are they in comparison to, like, Rhodes College? Not kidding.
Oh, they're pretty far ahead of, like, your mediocre D3s, but they're behind a number of D2s, and they're behind Mount Union. They're behind, which is a D3 school.
They're
I didn't look at Delta State. They're the third bottom FCS team, and the two that are below them are Stetson and another team that doesn't give scholarships. So, I mean, like, they're as bad of a team as you can possibly be. I think they're either right next to or right behind Valley. And Valley's – but my point is to say, people were like, well, Arkansas scored 70 last week. I was like, I mean, yeah, that was a glorified high school team. Pine Bluff is – the bottom of the barrel in HBCU.
Watch the highlights. I'm telling you, it's like they can't. It's like they're standing there while the players are running past.
Right. Yeah. It's a very, 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 very bad team. Again, Arkansas scored 70. Good for them. But
where's Wisconsin Whitewater on there?
I'm pretty confident they were ahead of them. I'll check that. But I think there were five D3 schools ahead of them. I mean, D3 schools don't give out. Let's see. Yeah, Pine Bluff's 358. I'm sorry. They're right behind Eastern New Mexico. Eastern New Mexico, which I thought was a community college that we
took. Shout out Wisconsin Whitewater. My boy Kevin O'Neill, it's his birthday today. Played quarterback up there at Whitewater.
They're actually behind 15 D3 schools. Sorry.
Kevin won't listen to this, but shout out to him for being original on his roster page. Favorite food, pizza.
Ah.
There you go. Way to go, Kev.
You could have been a star at Pine Bluff.
Yeah, man.
Hey, side note, Nick, the MSU ASU over should be in, or Zach, that should be Austin's pick. You'll have it as mine on the spreadsheet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, 59.5.
I want to fire on another total, unless I'm cutting in line here.
No, go ahead.
All right, another unsexy total here, but I just don't think the market has caught up to the change in philosophy for these two teams. South Alabama, Ohio. They're used to Kane Womack and South Alabama being sort of a defensive-oriented run-first team. Same for Ohio, who lost a lot of pieces off a really good team last year. This number opened at 55.5, which is way too low. It's still too low. FanDuel has it at 56.5, minus 115, over 56.5. This goes over. That's an average line game, 56 in college. This is going to be above average pace. South Alabama last week. Yeah, yeah. Last week was bananas for South Al. I'm going to find the box score here.
While you're looking at that, I'm going to go ahead and knock another one off my board here. Very intriguing game here. Learn a lot about both schools. One, still battling to be in that middle to upper tier in the Big 12. And the other, trying to find a conference. I like the Cougs on the Palouse against the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. I can get 1.5 on a couple books. FanDuel's got it at 1.5. I'm laying the 1.5. With Wazoo. I like Joey McGuire. I think he's a good coach. I think that he's slowly, like, he's got a crock pot going for this program in Lubbock. He's getting some good players. But dude, Washington State put 70 up last week. It was Portland State, whatever, but 70. Mm-hmm. So, you know, same song, different verse with the Cougs. They're going to score points. John Mateer had 5 touchdowns. Kyle Williams, 4 receptions, 141 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I think this is going to be a weird game for Texas Tech to go over there. I mean, the Palouse is way over there in the middle of nowhere. Tough place to play. It's weird, man. Like, regardless of the coach, that's a tough place to go win. It's a night game, too. Long way to travel. I don't know. It's only 1.5. I think that it'll be a shootout, and I think Wazoo gets it. So, 1.5 with the Cougs.
I like it. Speaking of not bad FCS teams, Portland State's not bad, and Washington State put them to bed.
Yeah, they're really not bad. I watched a little bit of that game because Pac-12 Network is still showing replays. And, that Mateer kid for Wazoo can sling it. He was – listen to his line. 11 for 17 for 352.
Damn, just bombs. And Texas Tech was in a dogfight last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Sneaky fun game at night. Yeah. Texas Tech overtime against Abilene Christian.
Yeah. Took every bit of it to win. I mean, they were in trouble.
Maverick McIver for the Abilene Christian Wildcats threw for 506 against Texas Tech.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They might be in trouble. All right. Is it money line time or what?
Yeah, I'm ready for money lines.
All right, I got 3 of them, so.
Hell yeah.
You go first then.
All right, well, let me ask y'all, how y'all want to play this one? The first one, UVA Wake. UVA is only used +1.5 right now. So the money line, I see anywhere from +105 to just straight up even.
A unit.
So, I mean, I could get +105.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. UVA. 1.05 units, I guess.
All right, yeah. Next one is San Jose State goes to Air Force. Give me the Spartans against Air Force. Ken Niumatalolo. Was I even close there?
Yeah.
He's at San Jose now. How many times do you think he's faced the Air Force triple when he was the coach at Navy?
Oh, man.
A lot, right?
Yeah.
He ran the triple. He defended the triple. He's going to know how to play the triple. Air Force is just not good this year. They kind of escaped against Merrimack last week. Right? So San Jose State, I think that they're +5.5. I want the money line. I'm struggling to find what that is at the moment. Anybody got it?
Who is this? Arizona State? I mean, Air Force?
San Jose State against Air Force, yeah.
It is plus
165.
Plus 200 at Hard Rock.
That's crazy town. So I'll do the 165 seems reasonable to me. I don't know, 200. Okay.
Who was the first?
170 at some other place.
170.
Yeah, we'll do 170. Right.
What was the first money line you had?
UVA, which was just +110, I think, or +105. I can't remember. Last one for me. We survived last week, Zach and I, with our FAU wager at Michigan State, but it was close because FAU's quarterback play is atrocious. I think Army can go on the road this week and take care of business. I don't trust FAU's defense against the triple after they go to Michigan State last week. They're in a battle up there, a game that feels close enough for them to win, but they managed to find a way to lose. They get a little beat up. They come home to face the triple, which you know they've not had time to prepare for at all. I like Army on the money line. I trust the troops to handle business on the road here.
Trust in some troops, other troops not so much.
Right.
And
so Army. Did you play all three money lines? So we're doing?
Yep. All right. And I've got – so that's like one
– Plus 150.
150, yep.
All right, I've got a few money lines myself.
Let me throw one out. This is a spread thing, real quick, before we're done. All right. Because I got maybe one more money line, maybe one more spread. I'm thinking I went Sam Houston State last week, and it was in the money for me. Sam Houston State is getting 22.5. I'm seeing against UCF. I see they're kind of like sneaky. Okay, that's three touchdowns and a field goal, and I think they're going to stick it close. Yeah, Sam Houston State getting 22.5 at UCF. I thought about taking the first half line, getting within two scores. It's 12.5, but I like 22.5 better.
Okay.
All right, I'm about to make some crazy picks. Okay. First money line. I'm going to take South Carolina outright at Kentucky.
Hell yeah.
Hate that. I don't hate that.
I don't either. I was just looking at that.
They were bad last week.
I was going to say they can't be as bad as they looked because they looked bad last week.
No. They looked bad.
This Kentucky still hadn't played a full game. They, right. If you recall, they basically played a half against Southern Miss.
Like 34.
Southern Miss isn't any good. Kentucky looked pretty decent, but I think this is a huge knee jerk reaction to open this line at 9.5. I don't understand that, and I think I can get like +360.
Hard Rock's got 325.
Well, there you go. 325. That's perfect.
Plus, Mark Stoops is distracted. He's taking the Florida job. So, you know, it's going to be
tricky. The problem with Kentucky, and I'll say that, and then they'll blow out South Carolina, these teams play games to 3 points. Like, that's the both coaches' styles. There's not a lot of room for error when you're going to be defense oriented, run the football, and Kentucky takes the air out of the ball. So if you're not successful early, it's hard. We saw that in Oxford when they came to Oxford with Will Levis 2 years ago. That Kentucky team was better than this Kentucky team. South Carolina outright, number one. Second one is going to be a little bit of a shocker. I'm going to take the North Carolina State Wolfpack against Tennessee.
This is a loss.
Zach, you can join him on it. Zach, you can. You can do multiple.
I have another one.
No, you could take it. If you want that one, take it from me. Seriously.
Well, yeah, you can both have it.
Yeah, we can both have it. You get +260.
That's not as fun.
Look. Yes, Nico looked really good. He's going to be one of those players that's like goes by Nico or whatever. He has a good arm. But let's pump the brakes for now.
Dave Warren is going to have some shit cooked up.
Correct. They need to go into NC State and do the same thing. Like, that. You want to talk about a rowdy atmosphere. This is a 6:30 kick.
So it's on a new – wait, is it? It's a neutral, right? Or is it not?
Yeah, it's in Charlotte. Right?
Well, that's – that'll. I guess it'll be neutral because Tennessee's fan base is so huge. But that's still local for North Carolina.
They threw a wrench into things there for you, didn't
they? Not really. Give me the Wolfpack.
Yeah. It's Charlotte.
Your lips to
Duke's God, Mayo dude. Classic.
Yeah.
Neutral site 7 week 2. That should be illegal. I thought we left that in week 1, and like having to keep up with that past week 1. That's not. I mean,
it caught me off guard.
Blame Ben at all. Yeah.
I don't care. Give me the Wolfpack. And Zach, if you want to tell, do it. I want somebody on the boat with me.
Okay, I will.
All right, Moneyline Sprinkles, Middleton. No.
I got another one. I'm gonna tail Ben on NC State. Dave Doran's a good coach. Really intrigued to see what Grayson McCall looks like against this defense, because Tennessee, man, like the front's good, but the back seven, it's dicey. They lost damn near everybody after last year. And Nico, again, like Raiola, like special arm talent, but it was UT's chat. Like, I need to see more. I'm not ready to say that he's going to go and just dominate a Dave Doran program that's been really damn solid. And they think this is their best NC State team since the 2017 that had like had Bradley Chubb and all those dudes. I'm going to go to the Metroplex, and we're going to go to the wannabe Ole Miss, the SMU Mustangs, and I'm going to take BYU.
I
was going to take that one too, man. That's a great pick.
Okay. So ESPN Bets has plus 380. Everybody else is around 360, 340. What do y'all want to do?
It doesn't matter. Do 350 for all I care. BYU is not – there's not going to be a significant talent gap here, right? And so SMU, it's not like they've recruited circles around BYU.
But BYU is 350?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
What'd you say?
Seems crazy to me. I mean, is SMU that good that I'm not aware of?
No.
Well, they struggled against Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
darlings is what
they think BYU could do the same thing Nevada did to them. They can play the game in the phone booth. You know what I mean? They can drag SMU into the muck.
Well, God, Jake Retzlaff threw for easy number 350 last week. And you know they're gonna have like, you know, some 29-year-old tight end that's a hoss. They're gonna have some receiver that looks like Puka Nacua or somebody. I don't know.
Mike Juarez might be playing for BYU. You never know.
Who?
Mike Juarez.
Polynesian Pipeline.
Kalani Sitake, man. Good coach. He is now I'm just interested. Yeah. Dude's been good there. 5-7 in 23, but like he had a run in 2020. He was 11-1, 10-3 the year after, 8-5 after that. I mean, he's a good coach.
I think he needs to win this year.
Yes. Yeah, he's got to do something. But
especially joining the Big 12. Like, you can't get run in the new conference.
I think people need to pump the brakes on SMU. And
for sure.
Talking about Mark Stoops being distracted with Florida, I've heard some Rhett Lashley rumblings about Arkansas. So,
man, if Zach wins 8 units in Moneyline in the first 2 weeks.
Then I'm gonna hit this one, and then I'm gonna start betting real money in week 3 and just bottom out.
Get wiped out. All right, Nick.
All right. One last one. This is stupid. You should never double dip. But I'm going Michigan. I'm seeing plus 245 on two separate things. I don't think they're gonna win. I think Texas is gonna win, but like I told you, Michigan won the game. I don't think anybody would be surprised at all. Again, they you know, went undefeated, or yeah, they went undefeated last year, won the national championship. I don't think that's crazy at all. 245 taking the defending national champions at home against Texas team that lost, like, what, their top two receivers, their top two running backs.
Two running backs, two defensive tackles.
Yeah, and yeah. They're also down another – I think that they only have three scholarship running backs for the trip up there.
Yeah,
245. I like Texas. I like Michigan. I shouldn't double dip because I've already taken them once, so that, you know, they could possibly cost me twice. But I just think that's too rich. 245.
What's the implied probability on that? Is this seems like they're way more likely than 245 to win?
Man, this is like 125 game. 245.
Yeah. 28. It's sub 30%. That's.
I was fixing to say it's about 72%.
Yeah.
Texas is getting too much love here. Yeah. I don't understand this.
Again, they beat Alabama in that game, and I think teams get crowned for beating Alabama, and they should. Alabama's a good team. But we crowned LSU a big time for beating Alabama that one time a couple years ago. That's Chip Kelly's entire career at LSU is beating Alabama on a, you know, going for two late in the game there. Same thing with Texas. Sarkisian would have nothing to hang his hat on but for beating Alabama.
They beat Alabama and then lost to Washington and Oklahoma in the same year.
Like, right.
Yeah, he was two. He was 1-2 in the three biggest games of the season.
Yeah, but beating Alabama again, it's a big deal. But I mean, you take that off the ledger and what's there?
Yeah.
And I think Michigan. They may lose this game by, you know, two scores. But I think we're going to look back in like 12 weeks if they get through this game unscathed. We might be like, oh man, I wish they had lost earlier in the season because I think they're going to be like rolling downhill at the end of the year. I think they're pretty talented still. Very talented.
The quarterback thing is just bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody thought Orgie was the guy, and then they give it just this walk-on dude that apparently was like diagnosed with like leukemia or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's beating cancer.
So, I don't know. How – this being a day game, now I know the big house, they, you know, the chair backs are, you know, cut in half so they can pile people in. I feel like a day game, it'll be rowdy, but I feel like a night game would be way different.
Oh, for sure. They're used to them up there, though. I mean, you saw how rowdy Oxford was 2 years ago when we played Kentucky. If you can get early in the week the mindset, and also, when was the last time they played a big out-of-conference team?
Right.
Texas.
You might know, Nick, because I know Notre Dame, it was just recent. Notre Dame got lights.
Yeah. The Big Ten generally plays their big games during the day.
Yeah, how long was it before Michigan got lights? Do you know that, Nick?
Oh, I think they were still bringing them in this century. They were still bringing them in for like – they would have like a 6:30 kick, and they would bring them in like 2002. I don't think they had them. I think them and Notre Dame – and maybe there's one more school that were like super late to the party. I think Ohio State and Penn State kind of had them a little earlier. I don't think Michigan had them until like 02.
Was it Northwestern?
Yeah, it could have been Michigan.
So Stadium. I'm seeing it says lights were installed in 2010. And now they're updated to do the, you know, the LED HID stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, they were installed in 2010. That's insane. I mean, all of us were in college.
Well, it makes sense though, because yeah, like Michigan would always play the 11 o'clock, and Notre Dame always was on NBC.
Yeah.
At, you know, at 11
or 2:30. Yeah. They still have the November thing where they don't play any night games essentially in November without like permission from both schools because of the cold. So because of the weather and the fans and stuff. I mean, playing like a 7 o'clock kick in Michigan in November.
And it's 14 degrees. Yeah.
And I mean, the schools don't want it. The fans don't want it. They've just kind of been used to it. I'm okay with it though. Cause I mean, you know, we get a night game here.
I thought you were talking about Notre Dame at first. And I was like, Indiana didn't get that cold.
No, I think it's Penn State. It's the same way. Ohio State, Michigan State, man. It's the coldest place on the planet.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they cancel class up there for straight up like snow. Like if there's too much snow, they'll just cancel class because kids are can't walk around.
Right.
All right. Is that everybody's? We got all our picks, all our money line sprinkles. Got a healthy dose of week two. Yeah. Look, it's not October 12th slate, but there's some good games this week, so it's going to be fun. Again, podcast brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Get you a coach's jacket. I think they're pretty damn slick. Ole Miss got one. The VIP boxes will be back soon. Whenever you are getting a coach's jacket, a t-shirt, or whatever, VIP box, make sure to use promo code LASTDANCE24. You get 15% off. So make sure you do that at homefieldapparel.com. Also brought to you by Roback. Our good friends at Roback.com have graciously given us a promo code. Juice is the promo code at Roback for 20% off. If you want to mix it up, get some polos that maybe aren't Ole Miss specific, but they've got Ole Miss centric colors. They've got the state themed polos. They're working on getting Ole Miss. They're dealing with the licensing and all of that. So they're trying to get that. But Roback.com promo code is Juice for 20% off. As always, thanks to College Corner, thanks to Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group and the rest of our sponsors. Gentlemen, pleasure as always. We will be back next week to recap week two and look ahead to Ole Miss traveling to Winston-Salem to the Dash. So for Austin, for Ben, for Nick, I'm Zach. This has been Hit That Line on the flagship. Till next time, we out of here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.